Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on DPLEX. The content in this episode, which focuses on diverse issues around patent infringement, comes from Russell Tom.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're cutting through the noise of IP headlines. We're focusing on a really key strategic battleground, patent infringement.
Right. It's that point where innovation meets, well, legal reality.
Exactly. And understanding it isn't just for the legal folks, is it? It can genuinely make the difference between, you know, leading the market or getting bogged down in really crippling litigation.
Absolutely. Think about a hypothetical startup, maybe a InvateCo. They've got this groundbreaking tech ready to launch.
Yeah, years of R&D, funding secured, they're set to disrupt. But what if their brilliant idea completely unknowingly steps on someone else's IP turf?
That's the nightmare scenario.
So our deep dive today is all about arming you with the insights to navigate this. We're drawing heavily from a summary of a lecture by IP expert Russell Tom. He's with Mergetroid & Company. This was part of the CEIPI University Diploma in IP Business Administration.
A really solid source.
Definitely. Yeah. And our mission is clear. Unpack what patent infringement really is, look at how you can proactively manage the risks, even for our InnovateCo, and know what to do if you find yourself in a dispute. Think of this as your shortcut to getting properly informed.
Essential stuff.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Let's unpack this. What exactly is patent infringement? How do we even start to define it?
Okay, so fundamentally, patent infringement happens when someone, an unauthorized party, does something that falls within the scope of a patent's claims.
Unauthorized party.
Yeah.
Activities within the scope.
Yeah. See, a patent gives the owner exclusive rights. It lets them prevent others from making, using, selling, offering for sale, or importing the invention without their okay.
So it's about stopping people.
Precisely. That's the key thing. They're negative rights. They let you stop others, but, and this is important, they don't automatically give you the right to use or sell your own invention. You might need licenses for other background tech, for example.
Ah, I see. It's about exclusion, not necessarily permission for yourself.
Exactly. And the source material breaks down infringing acts into two main types. First, there's direct infringement.
Okay.
This is probably the most straightforward kind. It happens when one single entity does all the steps of a patented method or uses all the parts of a patented product.
Like our InnovateCo, making and selling a device that matches someone else's patent point for point.
Precisely. Then you have indirect infringement. This one's a bit more nuanced.
How so?
Well, indirect infringement happens when someone provides, say, essential components or instructions for a patented invention, and they know these things will be used by someone else to infringe.
So it's like helping someone else infringe, providing the tools.
Kind of, yeah. It's about aiding and abetting, providing the crucial means to the infringing end.
Right. So it's not just about direct copying. InnovateCo could even facilitate infringement without realizing it initially.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just a minor legal issue, is it? Why is this such a big deal for businesses?
Oh, it's way more than a minor issue. It can be, well, an existential threat, honestly. The implications are huge, financially, reputationally, operationally.
Let's break those down. Financial first.
Okay, financial damage. This can be massive. We're talking compensation for the patent holder, maybe lost profits, maybe reasonable royalties. If the infringement was willful, damages can even be tripled.
Wow.
For any company, especially a startup like InnovateCo, that kind of financial hit. It doesn't just hurt the bottom line. It can destroy cash flow, halt growth, worst case, bankruptcy. Their funding runway could just vanish.
That's serious. What about reputation?
Reputational risk is huge, too. Just being accused of infringement can tarnish a company's image, even if they're ultimately cleared.
Hmm.
You lose trust with customers, investors, partners. That can mean lost market share, lower brand value, trouble attracting talent or funding later on. It's a lasting stain.
And operations.
Operational disruption. If a court issues an injunction, that's an order to stop. Stop making, stop selling, stop distributing the product immediately.
Yeah.
Right now. Imagine InnovateCo, after all that development, having to pull their product from shelves overnight. Supply chains get wrecked. Customer relationships crumble. Business continuity just starts.
A nightmare.
And though it's rare, in really severe cases, we're talking willful, maybe fraudulent actions, it can escalate to criminal proceedings.
Criminal.
It's not common for typical infringement, but yes, It could mean massive fines for the company, potentially even jail time for individuals involved, and obviously irreparable harm to their standing. It underlines the seriousness.
Okay. And this plays out on an international stage, too. You mentioned Europe.
Yeah. Historically, patent stuff was very national. But in Europe, things have changed significantly with the Unified Patent Court, the UPC, and the Unitary Patent System. That kicked off in June 2023.
What does that do?
It centralizes enforcement across many EU countries. So one court case can cover a huge market, which streamlines things but also raises the stakes. Globally, you've got agreements like TRIPS setting minimum IP standards for WTO members.
So the legal landscape is complex and evolving, both nationally and internationally. That's a lot of potential downside.
A huge amount.
But thankfully, there are ways to be proactive. Which brings us to something really key. The freedom to operate search, or FTO. What exactly is that, and why is it so, well, powerful?
Right. FTO. Think of it as essential homework before you launch. It's a process specifically designed to identify third-party patents out there that could pose a legal risk to your commercial plans.
So mapping the minefield before you walk into it.
That's a great way to put it. And it's crucial to understand it's different from a patentability search.
How so? Patentability is about getting your own patent, right?
Exactly. Patentability asks, is my invention new and non-obvious enough to get a patent? An FTO search asks, can I sell my product or use my process without infringing on someone else's existing patent rights?
Okay, different questions entirely.
Completely different focus. FTO is about ensuring your actions, making, using, selling, don't step on existing rights. And it needs to cover all aspects of your product, not just the bits you think are innovative. Even minor parts could be covered by someone else's patent.
So it's really about checking you have the freedom to do what you plan to do. Why is this so vital for companies, especially our InnovateCo, getting ready to launch?
Well, it directly tackles those risks we just talked about. The biggest benefit is risk mitigation.
How does it mitigate?
By finding potential problems early. If the FTO flags a risky patent, InnovateCo can act before they're heavily invested. They might be able to redesign their product, what we call a designing around the patent.
Tweaking it to avoid the specific claims.
Exactly. Or they could approach the patent owner and try to negotiate a license to use the technology legally. Doing this during development is so much cheaper and less disruptive than fighting a lawsuit after launch.
Makes sense. Saves them launching than having to pull back.
Definitely. Beyond just avoiding trouble, FTOs fuel smart strategic decision making.
In what way?
The search gives you a clear map of the competitive IP landscape. Who owns relevant patents? What do they cover? Where are they enforced? This helps with market entry, guides R&D, and might even spot opportunities for collaboration or cross-licensing.
So it's competitive intelligence too.
Very much so. And then there's cost savings. I can't stress this enough. Sorting out potential infringement issues during R&D is vastly cheaper than litigation, damages, and shutdowns later on. Massively cheaper.
Prevention is better than cure, financially speaking.
Absolutely. And finally, think about investor confidence.
Right. The funding aspect.
Yeah. If InnovateCo can show investors they've done their homework, identified IP risks, and have a plan to manage them, that builds huge trust. It shows foresight, responsible management. Investors are much more likely to back a venture that understands and mitigates its IP risks.
Okay, that's compelling. Proactive is definitely the way to go. So if InnovateCo decides, right, we need an FTO, what are the actual steps? How do they do it properly?
It's a methodical process, typically involving five key stages. First step, identifying relevant patents.
Finding the potential landmines.
Pretty much. This means searching patent databases thoroughly for patents and applications that are in force in the countries where you plan to sell or operate. Expired patents, abandoned applications, they're not a threat, so you filter those out.
Okay, focus on live, relevant patents.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Hey, are you an IP expert with a focus topic you want to share? Then you might be just the right fit to become an IP subject matter expert at the IP Business Academy. It's a great opportunity to build visibility for your expertise and reach new clients through a trusted academic platform. You'll be supported in creating digital content, LinkedIn strategies, and outreach to your target group. If you're ready to raise your profile and position yourself as a thought leader, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. End of advertisement.
Step two is maybe the most critical. Analyzing the patent claims.
Getting into the nitty-gritty legal language?
Exactly. The claims define the legal boundaries of the patent. You have to carefully read them, both the broad independent claims and the narrower dependent claims, and figure out if your product or process falls within that scope. This usually needs real IP expertise. It's specialized language.
Right, not something you just skim.
Definitely not. Third step, iterative updates. An FTO isn't a one-and-done thing.
Why not?
Because products evolve. Innovate Guk might tweak the design, add a feature. Every change could potentially create a new infringement risk. So the FTO search needs to be updated as the product develops. It's ongoing.
Like checking the map again every time you change course.
Good analogy. Fourth, assess territorial coverage. Patents are country-specific. A U.S. patent doesn't stop you in Germany, and vice versa.
Ah, so you need to check the patents are actually valid where you plan to sell.
Crucial. You need to confirm the patents you found actually apply in your target markets. Doing a U.S.-only search and assuming you're clear globally is a huge, costly mistake people make.
Got it. Check the geography. What's the last step?
Fifth is evaluating legal status. Just because a patent exists doesn't mean it's currently enforceable. You need to check things like, have the maintenance fees been paid? Are there any ongoing challenges like opposition or invalidation proceedings against it?
So making sure the landmine is actually live, so to speak.
Exactly. Putting all those steps together gives you the clearest possible picture of the risks.
That sounds incredibly detailed. A proper deep dive for sure.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it's complex. I imagine it's not always smooth sailing. What are the tricky parts, the hidden risks that can trip up even a careful company?
You're right. It's definitely not foolproof. One big challenge is just the complex patent language.
We touched on that, the legal jargon.
Yeah. Claims are drafted for legal precision, often very technical. Interpreting them accurately needs both legal skill and often technical understanding of the field. That precision can sometimes create ambiguity that needs expert eyes.
Okay, so interpretation is key. What else?
A really significant one is hidden risks from unpublished applications.
Ah, the ones you can't see yet.
Exactly. Patent applications usually stay confidential for about 18 months after filing. So InnovateCo could do a perfect FTO, launch their product, and then find out they infringe a patent from an application that was filed earlier but hadn't been published yet.
That's a major blind spot.
It is. It's an unavoidable uncertainty, frankly. It highlights why ongoing monitoring is so important even after the initial FTO.
Right. You have to keep looking. What other challenges?
The sheer dynamic landscape. The patent world never sits still. New patents get granted every day, old ones expire, court rulings can suddenly change how claims are interpreted for whole industries.
So the map itself keeps changing.
Constantly. What looked clear last year might be risky this year because a competitor got a new patent granted. It demands constant vigilance, an agile IP strategy.
And for companies going global?
Ah, yes. The global scope adds layers of complexity. Different countries have different patent laws, different enforcement procedures, different ways of interpreting claims, plus language barriers in searching databases.
So you need local expertise too.
Often, yes. You might need IP experts in each key market to navigate the local nuances properly. It gets complicated and expensive fast.
Wow. So it's like trying to navigate a constantly shifting maze globally. With hidden traps. It sounds like even with the best FTO, you can never be 100% certain, can you? Is it more about managing risk down to an acceptable level?
That's exactly it. 100% certainty is basically impossible in this dynamic environment. It's all about managing risk, understanding it, minimizing it, having plans in place. The FTO's goal is to drastically reduce the likelihood and potential impact of an infringement claim, not eliminate risk entirely.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about informed risk management. So given these challenges, once InnovateCo's FTO has flagged some potential risks, what practical strategies can they actually use to manage them?
All right. Once you've identified risks, there are several paths you can take. The first and often preferred strategy is to avoid risk.
How?
Primarily through that design around we mentioned. Can you redesign your product or process to steer clear of the patent's claims? Remove or change the specific elements that infringe? Or sometimes you might just delay launching until a problematic patent expires, though that's often not ideal commercially.
Okay, avoidance is one option. What else?
Second, you can try to obtain licenses. Talk to the patent owner, negotiate a deal, get their permission to use the technology legally.
Pay for the right to use it.
Essentially, yes, it solves the infringement issue and sometimes can even lead to collaborations or cross-licensing deals. Turn a potential adversary into a partner, maybe?
Interesting. Option three.
Third, you might decide to accept risk.
Just go for it.
Sometimes, yeah. A company might assess the risk, weigh it against the commercial opportunity, and decide to proceed anyway, knowing they might face a lawsuit later. But if you do this, you absolutely need to budget for potential legal costs and be prepared for disruption. It's a calculated gamble.
A high-stakes one, potentially.
Very. Fourth strategy, transfer risk.
How do you transfer it?
You might get indemnities from your suppliers. If they provide a component that turns out to infringe, they agree to cover your losses. Or you can buy specific IP infringement insurance policies. They can help cushion the financial impact if you do get sued.
Okay. Insurance or supplier agreements. And the last one.
Finally, you can mitigate risk. This could mean things like building potential license fees or legal defense costs into your product pricing. So if a claim happens, the cost is somewhat factored in.
Price it accordingly.
Right. Or develop your own strong patent portfolio. This can be used defensively in negotiations. You sue me on your patent, I might sue you on mine. Let's talk cross-licensing instead. Having your own IP gives you leverage.
A defensive shield.
Exactly. And remember, the timing, FTOs are best done early in design. Definitely before big manufacturing or marketing investments, and always before entering a new country.
Those strategies offer clear options. But for a startup like InnovateCo, maybe short on cash, weighing accept risk against paying for a potentially expensive license, that must be a really tough call. How do they even weigh that up?
It's a classic business tightrope walk, isn't it? For a startup, it often boils down to a hard risk-reward calculation tied to their specific market, their funding, their growth plans.
Yeah.
They might accept a small risk in one area to focus resources elsewhere initially, then revisit as they grow. The absolutely critical thing is making that decision consciously with the FTO data in hand, not just stumbling into problems later because they didn't look.
Informed decisions, even the risky ones.
Okay.
So let's say, despite all the planning, infringement is found and proven in court. What actually happens? What kind of remedies can a court impose?
Yeah. If infringement is proven, courts have several tools, and they can be pretty painful for the infringer. One of the most impactful is an injunction.
The order to stop.
Yes. A direct court order telling the infringer to cease the infringing activity, stop making, stop selling, stop distributing. This can bring a business line, or even the whole business sometimes, to a screeching halt. For InnovateCo, that could be game over.
Devastating.
What else? Then there are damages. Financial compensation for the patent holder's losses.
We talked about lost profits or royalties.
Exactly. And these aren't token amounts. They can be substantial, seriously hitting profitability, maybe even solvency. Plus, remember the potential for enhanced damages for willful infringement.
Right. A big financial hit. Is there anything else?
Yes. Another remedy is an account of profits. This forces the infringer to hand over any profits they made specifically from using the patent invention without permission.
So they can't even keep the money they made from infringing?
Nope. It removes the financial incentive to infringe and compensates the patent holder. It's a strong deterrent. It's also worth mentioning, courts often encourage settlements to avoid long, costly trials. Sometimes a resolution can be found that way.
Okay, injunctions, damages, giving up profits, serious consequences. So let's pull this all together. Thinking big picture, what does all this mean for business success, especially for the SMEs and startups like our InnovateCo?
It means that embedding solid IP management into your core business strategy isn't just nice to have, it's absolutely fundamental. It's not a job just for lawyers, it's a business imperative.
So what does that look like in practice?
It means consistently doing those thorough FTO searches during development. It means getting your own IP protection, sorted robust patents or other rights tailored to your actual business goals. It means keeping an eye on what competitors are doing with their IP.
Staying aware.
Absolutely. And crucially, building a company culture where everyone understands the importance of respecting IP rights and following compliance procedures. It needs to be part of the DNA.
Right. IP awareness across the board.
By doing all this proactively, businesses don't just dodge those incredibly expensive disputes. They can actually unlock new value.
How so?
Through things like strategic licensing, letting others use your tech for a fee, or cross-licensing deals, trading access to patents with other companies. What starts as a potential legal risk can sometimes be turned into a commercial opportunity.
Turning defense into offense in a way.
Exactly. The core message really is simple. Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And in the world of IP, that knowledge is your best shield against costly trouble and potentially a key to unlock new growth.
A really powerful takeaway. We covered a lot today, defining infringement, the serious stakes, the crucial role of FTO searches, the strategies for managing risk. It's clear this isn't just legal minutiae. It's vital for anyone innovating or running a business.
It truly is. And maybe a final thought to leave listeners with. If understanding infringement and using tools like FTO searches properly, it can cut risk and open up opportunities.
Yeah.
Imagine the broader impact. How might wider adoption of these practices globally change the pace or even the nature of innovation, especially for smaller businesses, for independent creators? Could better IP certainty actually foster more creativity and make it easier for the next Innovate Cone to succeed?
That's a fascinating question. Something to definitely ponder. Does more certainty clear the path for more breakthroughs? A great thought. Remember, the world of knowledge keeps expanding. We hope you continue your own deep dives, always seeking to understand the landscape. Until next time, stay curious.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.